Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We just wrapped up with the Kentucky resolutions, which were Jefferson's resolutions. There was actually just a couple of pages, right? Now, the Virginia resolutions are pretty short as well. I think, let me see here, it's 1 1/4 page. So we should actually be able to get through this rather in one episode. We should. The important thing is that I just kind of want to summarize, because I really didn't have the time to summarize in the previous episode, because I started going on about state legislatures and getting them. They need to be doing this. We need them to be leaders, or we need to vote them all out. And I'm telling you, we need to vote them all out. I don't care how conservative and, you know, whether they, oh, I support the Constitution, but I'm not going to do this. Well, then we don't need you. We need people that are willing to do this, because this is the only way we're going to save our Constitution. This is why we need you to step in. This is why we need to start talking. We need to start working with you if you're really serious about doing this. And I think that there are some people that are part of the show that are actually in that space that are saying, you know what, I think I do need to do this, because I do not see this happening. If you haven't already called your state legislator and sat down and had a conversation with this person that supposedly represents you and tells them what they have to do, and if they're not committed to doing it, just shake their hand and say, I will see you at the primary, because I'm going to run against you. And I am going to level you with a campaign that you will have never seen unleashed in these days of milquetoast and rhino conservatism. Anyway, I am telling you, folks, you can do this. You're going to have the upper hand. I have put it out for quite a few years now. Actually, I think it was 2017 or 2018. Formally, I think it was the beginning of 2018. I formally went to the John Birch Society and said, prove me wrong. Here's the process. What is your position on this? And instead of taking a position, they've decided to take this, you know, this nefarious way of just trying to, you know, point to my books. And instead of looking at the process itself, they cling on to the books that, you know, this process hadn't even matured yet. I mean, the whole point was to start teaching people and trying to bring people together. And instead, the John Birch Society recognizes this as a threat to their organization, because they don't want to bring people together as organizations. They want people to join them, because it's all about organizational strength, money, resilience, and relevance, becoming the only relevant organization. And I'm going, you know, friends, that is very dangerous in the eyes of liberty, because we do not need organizations to try to be that type of one size fits all. I think the Eagle Forum and I think all these different organizations have a place at the table. And when one group is refusing to, you know, unify and unite on the Constitution, and they claim to be a champion of it, I'm sorry. You're antithetical to those principles of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And you happen to seem to be, you know, in the mind model or paradigm of compulsion and groupthink. This is how you're going to think, and this is the way we act. This is what we say, and this is how we do things. And this is what you will do, or you won't be a leader or a part of this organization, you know, in its future. You can be a member, but that's it. And I think people are starting to wise up. That's not just them. They're not the only ones. The NRA, all of these different conservative organizations that are myopic, trying to get you to vest in them. These conservative entertainers trying to get you to buy their stuff. They're not uniting. They don't care. Call them all up. Anybody and everybody you listen to, call them up and ask them why they're not involved with Republic Review. Because it's not about me. This is about the Constitution and getting our state legislatures to do their job. As soon as we have the states doing this, it's about them. They take full control. They're the ones that actually, because once you start going down the path of validating and verifying a compact, and once you start heading down this path of auditing and identifying what powers were delegated and all the powers that weren't, you can't make it up. If the amendment does not exist through the ratified process, it ain't there. It's over, folks. You can't foul this up. It is that simple when it comes to enforcement of a compact. So when people say, oh, well, this could get derailed, you could change things, you could milk, you know, muddy the waters and milk this along for your own benefit. No, you can't. When it comes to contract law, it is very clean and clear. It's either in there and it's in there legitimately, or it's not, or it's usurpations, violations, and so forth and so on. This is how I can tell you that this is a house of cards that will be blown down. The debt, everything along with this will be blown down because all the evidence, we went through the evidence of the ratification debates and canonizing this. Getting everybody, because I believe canonizing this will actually be the huge drive. I was talking to this, Douglas V. Gibbs down in Southern California. We're going to have him on. I just need to get the time to sit down and have the conversation with him. But I think he actually realizes, you know, how this really can and how this really will work. As a matter of fact, I think, you know, when I talked to him, I said, you know, you realize if we canonize the Constitution, the mystery goes away. Now, doesn't mean that people won't need to learn, and he'll still have an opportunity to teach people. And he may, and as a matter of fact, I want to plant the seed so that he can compete against the John Birch Society and have the Constitution Association maybe become the foremost, you know, organization to actually be, you know, appointed to offices within the state houses to help ensure that the state legislatures are aligning with the Constitution until they, you know, they finally get to a point where everybody understands it so well because of this canonizing of the Constitution that you really have to be either an idiot or you have to be a very evil person to try to get away with undermining and subverting the Constitution once again, because moving forward, we're not going to make the same mistakes. We can't. We won't. Everybody is going to understand how the Constitution was defined, and every state house will. And as we do that, it just makes it harder to deviate. The reason they were able to deviate is because everybody just trusted everybody, committed things to kind of, if they didn't remember, they at least depended on somebody that did. But when all those people died off or left office, then it was kind of passed on by word of mouth. And everybody knows what happens when facts fly around the room by word of mouth. Everybody's been in that little experiment where you have a little fact whispered in one person's ear, and as it goes around the room, how it gets perverted. And I've actually sat next to a guy that was deliberately, he took the information, it was actually pure for like 5 or 6 people, and he was the one that deliberately just changed it to making something else up. And he admitted to that. There are people, friends, that actually do that because it's funny, because they can. Anyway, we do want to get into the Virginia resolutions. I want you to know the show is also sponsored by republicreview.org. You got to have, you know, a little levity, right? Anyway, actually, I told my wife about the fumbling of the expletive earlier this week. And she kind of goes, oh, and I go, I really didn't say the wrong thing. I just kind of fumbled the whole thing, and it was bad, but it wasn't bad. And she goes, well, just edit it out. And I go, I don't do that. I don't edit my shows to that. I do edit for the dynamic peaks and the sound, but I don't edit words. I don't, you know, cut out and put in, you know, unless there's something that I really need to insert. But I've only done that maybe once or twice. Just to insert something because there was a really important piece of information or something had changed, Like, I think the last time I did it was I actually stepped on the intro music and said, hey, don't forget on the 4th of July or on the 5th of July, we're going to read Thomas Jefferson's original draft so that you know what he actually stated in his Declaration of Independence in contrast to what was signed as the Declaration of Independence. So, I mean, that's to the extent of those things. That's all I ever do. Anyway, our comment line, 425-270-5416. We would love to hear from you. We would love to get you engaged and start having these conversations. Let's start having listener conversations of what do you need to do and how can I help you? How can we help get you to start, you know, putting some, you know, rubber on the road, start getting other people to start joining? And I'm going to tell you right now, some of the things you really have to go out to the Central Committee meetings, the Constitution Party Central Committee meeting, and the Republican Party. Why? Because there are lots of people that are part of the Republican Party that are a part of it for the right reasons, and they don't realize that the wrong things are happening. They don't realize that they're actually a part of the problem, but they're there because they want to be a part of the solution. And sometimes people wake up and that's why they become disenfranchised and they leave. But this is why the Republican Party is not actively seeking to fill every rank, to fill every precinct, and to start teaching people the Constitution and so forth. One of my problems I have with any of these types of groups that are going out to filling every precinct is the fact that they're not out there trying to make sure that everybody understands what they need to be doing. They need to understand the Constitution and holding people accountable. It's, you know, this liberty, holding people accountable and being responsible and acting responsible is a part of liberty. We will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so what we want to do is we kind of want to move forward with these resolutions, but I do want to remind you one thing. I haven't said this in a long time, but as a U.S. citizen, as a person that was born a U.S. citizen, you don't raise your arm to the square to take an oath to the Constitution, to support it. And I have a problem with that. And I believe that we need to institute a change in our paradigm that anybody who is registering to vote basically has to take an oath, that one, that they are a U.S. citizen. So in other words, even though you may become a U.S. citizen, you actually have to take an oath as a citizen when you register to vote. And in so doing, you are basically going to say how you are obligated to support the Constitution, not a party, not the government, not an office, not an ideology, not a religion. By the laws of this land, we are obligated to support the Constitution. And so, as a part of your birthright in supporting the Constitution, you actually have roles and responsibilities that you need to be engaging in your local community, because that birthright responsibility of supporting the Constitution, especially when everybody recognizes that it's being trampled on and being shredded right underneath our feet. And some of us are doing this. In other words, some of the people who think that they're not a part of the problem, they're actually a part of the problem in allowing and assisting in the shredding of the Constitution. So what are your roles and responsibilities? You have a role and responsibility to use your First Amendment right of petition. You also have a responsibility of helping people understand what common law grand juries are, what they're for, and that how we need to use them and how they need to start being implemented in cleaning up government. Let's not forget, who's driving this world change, this reset. Who is trying to destroy America? It's not a good guy. It's Satan. Satan's behind all of this. So anyway, thanks for tuning in, and please, 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 please make sure you take note of this week and the following episodes while we cover this content so that people can get their arms around this and go, oh my gosh, how come nobody else is talking about this? Why is this information being suppressed? Because they don't want you to know the solution. You know why? Because if you understand the solution, then you actually are going to be responsible for killing the goose that lays their golden egg. All these conservative entertainers that are suppressing this information, all of these good people that you would think would be on top of this, they're not. And the reason they're not is because they understand that solving the problem will kill their opportunity to live a better life, because that's all they care about. They're serving mammon. They're not serving liberty. They're not serving individual liberty and individual sovereignty. They are a part of the problem. Anyway, so Jefferson created these resolutions in response. And as a matter of fact, Madison and him kind of conversed. And Jefferson was the one that would do the first one, sending it out to Kentucky, making it a little bit farther from home and making kind of keeping his fingerprints off of this as much as possible. Again, like I was saying, he was the vice president. He did not want to be viewed as a treasonous vice president and be removed from office and hung. So here we have this dilemma now. He sent this out. Now what's to be done? Well, Madison was going to, in kind, respond in December, which is exactly what they did. They responded. He went down to the Virginia State House. What was Madison's job at the time? He wasn't in Congress. He was basically enjoying his civil life because he wasn't in public service. So here he goes, not being compensated, taking his own time, going down to the Virginia State House and basically explaining to them what had just happened with this, these alien sedition acts. And now that they've got this, transmuted on the November 10th, right? Because that's when Kentucky passed these. And then later on, I think that month, somebody tried to pass a new set of resolutions because they didn't think that Jefferson's wording was too harsh. It was, too inflammatory. They wanted to make it more politically correct. Anyway, as we look at the Virginia legislature down in Richmond, Madison was down there and he basically said, this is what we need to do. And he sat down and worked with them and came up with these resolutions. Now, these resolutions later on in 1834, Madison actually cites these resolutions as to what he was meaning, as well as cites his report on these resolutions of 1800. So this is why we're going to go through all of this, because he really lays out in his final notes, even though this isn't necessarily a formal, and you've heard me talk about the importance of using formal documents. Here is a man that has made the formal documents and everything that he writes in his notes on nullification of 1834 actually aligns with everything that he was trying to clarify. Here was a man that was desperate so that people would understand the truth instead of buying into this perversion of nullification, single state nullification. Yes, single state, as in Jefferson, the way Jefferson basically put it, that's where the perversion came from. And knowing that Jefferson had passed, knowing that Jefferson couldn't defend himself, I think Madison was a very honorable man because he looked and did everything he could not to basically put any blame or anything. And he actually speaks of, he believes Jefferson supports everything that he's saying. So just to be clear, you know, this was a really well-documented process that yours truly, when I came up with Republic Review, it really wasn't until 2017 when these types of documents just slapped me in the face. And I go, wow, this is everything that they need to do. And this is what made it so much easier for me to sit down and distill what the process is and create these bullets, these bullet points for the argument for Republic Review, as well as the process and the flow. Because it's that simple. This is how it's to be done based on contract law. The parties of the compact are to get together and each party must verify for themselves in auditing. And you'll understand the whole audit process when we get into Republic Review, because we're going to do that after all of these resolutions, because we're going to go through the process so that you understand how clean this process really is. Anyway, so Madison writes these resolutions, and I do want to cite the day. I think this was like December 29th. The Virginia resolutions were submitted for their signing and our approval. And hold on a quick second, because I have to get to the page, and we're almost there. The Virginia resolutions right here, December 24th. 1798, the day before Christmas, Christmas Eve. Actually, because this is a testament that they didn't even recognize Christmas Eve in these days. So it was December 24th when these were signed and promulgated. In other words, promulgated, sent out to the other states. Virginia's position. So this was Virginia's formal position. Resolved that the General Assembly of Virginia doth unequivocally express a firm resolution to maintain and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this state against every aggression, either foreign or domestic, and that they will support the government of the United States in all measures warranted by the former, warranted by the Constitution. So in other words, they will support the United States government as warranted in accordance with the Constitution. Two, that this assembly most solemnly declares a warm attachment to the Union of the States, to maintain which it pledges all its powers, that for this end, it is their duty to watch over and oppose every infraction of those principles which constitute the only basis of that Union. Now, did you hear what I just said? I'm going to reread this because he's pointing out the state's responsibility, that this assembly most solemnly declares a warm attachment to the Union of the States, to maintain which it pledges all its powers, and that for this end, it is their duty, the state's duty, to watch over and oppose every infraction of those principles which constitutes the basis of that unit, which is the Constitution. because a faithful observance of them can alone secure its existence and the public happiness. I'm telling you, when you read what he's saying here, when people read Jefferson, some of Jefferson's stuff was just like, it wasn't as powerful as far as I'm concerned. He says this is null and void, or actually void and of no force. And he only uses, I think, null or nullification once in his resolution. But to be clear, Madison's identifying who and what have these responsibilities, and it is the states that have these responsibilities, that they have the duty to watch over and oppose every infraction. Third, here's the third resolution, that this assembly doth explicitly and peremptorily, I love that word, this assembly doth explicitly and peremptorily declare that it views the powers of the federal government as resulting from the compact to which the states are parties as limited by the plain sense and intention of the instrument constituting the compact. Oh, we've got another break coming up. So what we'll do is we'll read the third resolution from the beginning again so that we, you know, I don't want to skip over anything. I want to make sure you get this because this is it. You know, folks, I love to be right. And I know you probably love to be right. And when you're right, nobody can stop you. Get on the no stopping train because we're all right. And this is right. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me put this into context before we get into this third resolution. As I was going into break, I said, I love being right. There's nothing better than being right. Because when you're right, when you're correct, when you're spot on the truth, in other words, you're basically on God's side. There's nothing anybody can do. And what I want you to understand is that if you're going to take a campaign and go through a legislative district and unseat a person on being right, you're going to win. Because when it comes down to it, either people have to accept that, you know, doing the right thing is right. And when you prove to them that this is the right thing to do, it's done. Now, there are those, but it's a small majority, or it's a majority. It's a minority of people who will actually believe and support the wrong thing because of the wrong reasons. I do not believe that the majority of the people in these red states, where you may be living, in a red county, in a red legislative district, where you're probably living, that you can't win on being right. I mean, it's hard to fathom how any campaign out there teaching everybody that this is what has to be done, and the person that has been sitting in this office for the past term or however many terms that they've sat in this office, they are the wrong person because they don't get it. And how you're leading, not just in this legislative district, but you're leading a slate of people of being right. We need to start talking. We need to start actually. You need to get going in making some connections so that we can start building and developing the slate. Friends, this has got to get hot. This has got to get viral. What kills me is these stupid dances and these stupid cats and all these other things that, you know, they go viral. But here is the cure. Here is the elixir. Yeah, it's going to take a little work. Yeah, you have to get involved. But why is this not going viral? This is what concerns me. I've said this before. I'm not going to quit and give up. I have faith. I do know that the right and the people are there. And doing the right thing is the right thing to do. Anyway, let it be said that if you want to actually win, and you want to win on the merit of actually shutting down your opponent because they're wrong, and winning the argument with the right argument, with all the facts on your side, here you go. Resolution 3, that this assembly doth explicitly and peremptorily declare that it views the powers of the federal government resulting from the compact to which the states are parties as limited by the plain sense and intention of the instrument constituting the compact, as no further valid that they are authorized by the grants enumerated in that compact. Notice the words he's using, grants. In other words, the state is being granted these enumerated powers by the states to the federal government in that compact. And that in case of a deliberate, palpable, or blatant and dangerous exercise of powers not granted by the said compact, the states who are parties thereto have the right and are duty bound to interpose for arresting the progress of evil and for maintaining within the respective limits the authorities, rights, and liberties appertaining to them, the states. 4, that the General Assembly doth also express its deep regret that a spirit has in sundry instances, in a variety of instances, been manifested by the federal government to enlarge its powers by forced constructions of the constitutional charter which defines them, and that implications have appeared of a design to expound certain general phrases which have been copied from the very limited grant of power in the former Articles of Confederation, which were less liable to be misconstrued, so as to destroy the meaning and effect of the particular enumeration, which necessarily explains the limits and limits the general phrases, and so as to consolidate the states by degrees into one sovereignty, the obvious tendency and inevitable consequence of which would be to transform the present republican system of the United States into an absolute or at best a mixed monarchy. That the General Assembly, this is the fifth resolution, that the General Assembly doth particularly protest against the palpable and alarming infractions of the Constitution in the two late cases of the Alien and Sedition Acts passed for the last session of Congress, the first of which exercises a power nowhere delegated to the federal government, and which by uniting legislative and judicial powers of those of executive subverts the general principles of free government, as well as the particular organization of positive provisions of the federal constitution, and the other of which acts exercises in like manner a power not delegated by the constitution, but on the contrary, expressly and positively forbidden by one of the amendments thereto, a power which more than any other ought to produce universal alarm because it is leveled against the right of freely examining public characters and measures of a free communication among the people thereon, which has never been justly deemed the only effectual guardian of every other right. 6. That this state, having by its convention, which ratified the federal constitution, here he's pointing out contract law of how they actually defined the Constitution, declared that among other essential rights, quote, the liberty of conscience and of the press cannot be canceled, abridged, restrained, or modified by any authority of the United States, close quote. And from its extreme anxiety to guard these rights from every possible attack of sophistry or ambition, have with other states recommended an amendment for that purpose, which amendment was in due time annexed to the Constitution. It would mark a reproachable inconsistency and criminal degeneration or degeneracy if an indifference were now shown to the most palpable violation of one of the rights thus declared and secured, and to the establishment of a precedence which may be fatal to the other. He's talking about the right of conscience and the right of being able to express whatever you want. They're already doing this today, my friends. You can't say anything about, you know, hurt a homosexual feelings. You can't say anything that hurts anybody's feelings, regardless of where they fall in the demographics, race, gender, orientation. But the Constitution protects your ability to do that. You have inalienable rights to be able to express those things that you hold most dear. And we're seeing what these men were fighting for is just the tip of the iceberg compared to what we're dealing with today. I said this in the previous episodes. What we have to do, and they've basically laid out this map with these resolutions, these 8 resolutions we have, we've gone through 6 of them already. They've laid out this map of what we actually have to do. And so let me get into the 7th resolution. That the good people of this Commonwealth, having ever felt and continuing to feel the most sincere affection, I hope you understand, this is one of the most powerful parts of this resolution. And so we're gonna amplify this, and we're gonna get into what he basically had just done in these resolutions. That the people of this Commonwealth, having ever felt and continuing to feel the most sincere affection for their brethren of the other states, the truest anxiety for establishing and perpetuating the union of all, and the most scrupulous, in other words, honorable fidelity to that Constitution, which is the pledge of mutual friendship and the instrument of mutual happiness, the General Assembly, and he's talking about the General Assembly of Virginia, doth solemnly appeal to the like dispositions of the other states in confidence that they will concur with this Commonwealth in declaring it is as it does hereby declare that the acts aforesaid are unconstitutional, and that the necessary and proper measures will be taken by each for cooperating with this state in maintaining the authorities, rights, and liberties referred to the states respectively or to the people. Now, what he basically just said, friends, was nothing like what Jefferson said. What he's saying is that he believes that the states in confidence will, one, concur with the state of Virginia and in declaring that these are unconstitutional acts, and that the necessary and proper measures will be taken by each for cooperating with this state, not by working in a vacuum and just making them null, but by cooperating with this state in maintaining the authorities, rights, and liberties referred to the states respectively or to the people. that in so doing, they are seeking compliance and putting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. That's as clear as it can be. The federal government has no ability and no right to be functioning outside the framework of the Constitution. This is why this is so important. And being right is where you want to be. And so when we come back, we'll read the eighth and final resolution, and then we will start prepping for the response by Jefferson.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so now we've got the final resolution. So basically, this is kind of the administrative side of this, and this is what it says, that the governor be desired to transmit a copy of the foregoing resolutions to the executive authority of each of the other states with a request that the same may be communicated to the legislature thereof, and that a copy be furnished to each of the senators and representatives representing this state in the Congress of the United States, and agreed to on the 24th of 1798, or at least agreed to by the Senate. And I think if this originated in the House or what have you, but it got promulgated. It went out. And as a matter of fact, Madison and Jefferson were a little berated and called out, and there were some things that weren't, you know, very nice things said about what they were trying to do. And so, just to be clear, as you understand the honor and the integrity of what these men were doing, they took offense. Now, one of the things you have to point out is, because most people say, well, okay, what they did, they were successful in, for the most part, because the states of Virginia and Kentucky really didn't enforce. The federal government had to come in and arrest people and haul them away. So it wasn't like they were being done in their own courts. And as a matter of fact, this really started getting people up in ire. And what they did, instead of trying to make legal lawsuit, what Jefferson and Madison did, like I told you, they didn't call for an Article 5 convention. They didn't call for a society to educate their way out of this. They didn't call for nullification and or what I would say as a single state nullification. But what they did do
was they called for interposition, and then they basically, you know, stopped. Actually, they didn't go into court to sue the federal government and pursue this in a legal case. In other words, as we looked at Obamacare, as we've looked at all of these different cases, why is it that the states keep on going into the federal courts where they're surrendering their sovereignty? These men did not surrender the sovereignty of the states. They actually asserted the state sovereignty. Do you understand that the three different things, or the four different things, as I stated, they didn't do a convention. They didn't create a society to educate. They didn't, you know, endorse this concept. Well, Jefferson did, but Madison kind of cleaned it up by saying that we need to interpose. We need to force the federal government. We can't let the federal government be operating outside the framework. We must force them into behaving. And so the other thing that they didn't do is they didn't go to the courts in surrendering their sovereignty. Interesting. I want you to understand this. Now, as this goes out from Virginia, it doesn't take long. As a matter of fact, December 3rd, 1799 is when Jefferson sends out his response to the other states. Now, look at the timeline, friends. November 10th, a year and basically a year and 2 months almost before this last resolution goes out. And it's a matter of months till the election. The choosing of the electors for president happens in 1800. This is where Jefferson and Adams get cast. The electors cast like 60 times, you know, a whole bunch of different votes, and finally coming up with Jefferson winning. And it was such a painful process that caused the 12th Amendment. But look at the timeline. Again, at the end of 98, and here at the end of 99, Jefferson sends his response to say, you know, what does he say? He says, we lament. Now, why would he say he laments when, for the most part, they're off doing these things? He's lamenting because all of the other states chose to do the wrong thing and ignore their responsibilities. And so in reading this, this is why I want you to understand his paradigm. But more importantly, you have to understand that Jefferson held a huge bat, and he knew that America loved him. I mean, he wrote a book in 1784, the Notes on the State of Virginia. I think it was 1784, 1783, something like published. He was one of the biggest published authors of American literature of the time. So I'm just pointing out that here's a superstar like Trump, or somebody that everybody knows, that a beloved person, and he saves the day by actually running for president and using Madison as the Secretary of State. And that these two men actually, in just a year plus time, a year and a couple months, a year and a half at the most, actually get away with committing a coup against the sitting president and the state legislatures as well as Congress, because they get enough moved to actually break the logjam of the Federalists. And before you know it, by the time Monroe gets reelected, right? That's how many presidents? Two presidents past Jefferson, right? Jefferson, Madison, Monroe. So that was one, two, three, four, five elections later, 20 years later. By that time, the Federalists were obsolete, because Monroe was elected unanimously, except for one elector withheld his vote. That's how successful this coup was in changing the paradigm from a consolidated government back to a limited government, because now everybody understood the importance of maintaining a limited government. But did that keep Congress, and did it keep these people from trying to assume more powers and more powers and more power? No. And as a matter of fact, through noble causes, they actually went back down with the Department of Transportation, all these other things, to assume power. So anyway, approved December 3rd, 1799, Jefferson's Kentucky Resolution of 1799. The representatives of the good people of this Commonwealth in General Assembly convened having maturely considered the answers of sundry states or a variety of states in the union to their resolutions passed in the last session respecting certain unconstitutional laws of Congress, commonly called the Alien and Sedition Laws, or ACTS, would be faithless indeed to themselves and those they represent were they silently to acquiesce in principles and doctrines attempted to be maintained in all those answers that of Virginia only accepted. To again enter the field of argument and attempt more fully or forcibly to expose unconstitutionality of those obnoxious laws would, it is apprehended, be as unnecessary as unavailing. We cannot, however, but lament. So did he use the word celebrate? No. We cannot, however, but lament that in the discussion of those interesting subjects by sundry of legislatures of our sister states, in other words, by a variety of these other states, unfounded suggestions and uncandid insinuations derogatory of the true character and principles of the good people of this commonwealth have been substituted in place of fair reasoning and sound judgment. Our opinions of those alarming measures of the general government, together with our reasons for those opinions, were detailed with decency and with temper and submitted to the discussion and judgment of our fellow citizens throughout the Union. Whether the decency and temper have been observed in the answers of most of those states who have denied or attempted to obviate the great truths contained in those resolutions, we have now only to submit to a candid world faithful to the true principles of the Federal Union, unconscious of any designs to disturb the harmony that that union, and anxious only to escape the fangs of despotism. The good people of this commonwealth are regardless of censure and calumniation. And so that's a good word right there. Calumniation. Anyway, I probably butchered it. But anyway, Resolution 3. Least, however, the silence of this commonwealth should be construed into an acquiescence in the doctrines and principles advanced and attempted to be maintained by the said answers, or at least those of our fellow citizens throughout the Union, who so widely differ from us on those important subjects, should be deluded by the expectation that we shall be deterred from what we conceive our duty or shrink from the principles contained in those resolutions. Now, one of the things I want to make sure you understand is when he talks about the good people of these other states, he's not actually talking about the good people of the other states. He's talking about the representatives who have bamboozled these people because, bottom line, this political coup that's coming around the corner that Jefferson and Madison are taking the Federalists to the woodshed on, well, they're going to start learning and they're going to be exposed to this new paradigm that is, you know, going to befall them, that the people really don't want a centralized, a energetic central government that has to its discretion any power it chooses to exercise, that the people prefer the limited scope, as Jefferson pointed out in this first set of resolutions in 1798. And the same thing with Madison, that the people preferred this limited and defined, enumerated general government, that they just can't assume powers for themselves. And so what ends up happening, as you know, is that these acts actually expire and basically dry up on the vine. What we want you to know is that we have an opportunity now to do exactly what they did in campaigning and calling upon all to become compliant and in accordance with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. We're tying it all together for you here, folks. Let's be right together. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.